Friends, we've been looking, as Bishop has already mentioned to us, the theme for this year, and we've taken January just to preach through and set the tone for this year. So the theme for this year, by now, I trust you've got it. It says, looking at life through God's eyes, living life through God's Word. It's wonderful that we put the perspective right. We're able to see things, all things that happen in life, through God's eyes and understand what He's doing, understand His nature, His character, and that all things are working for the good of those who love God. God is sovereign, looking at life through God's eyes, and then living through life. Now that we've got the right perspective, living life through God's Word. So as we've been considering all of that from Psalm 16, we now move to Psalm 119. So if you can get your Bibles open there as we open to Psalm 119, verse 9. There's a question we find just as we get to verse 9 that is being asked. And actually for us, there's no need to speculate or guess about this because the psalmist gives us the answer. Here's the question. How can a young man keep his way pure? What a wonderful question. You can imagine a young man coming to you and asking this question. How can I be pure? How can I be sinless? How can I honor and obey God? Or you can imagine an older person, perhaps a parent, coming and saying, you know, how can I get my child to be pure? Or perhaps it's an older person who's desiring this sort of pure life. And the answer is given here by living according to your word. The psalmist has been talking to God. He's been praying to God from verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. And he goes on speaking to the Lord. And you come to verse 9. So he says, it is by living according to your word, O God, that a person can keep his way pure. Now, there's a purpose here. The purpose of giving us the answer as well is to convince us that you and I can have no purity in life until we surrender to the Word of God. People pursue purity in various ways. People seek holiness in various ways. But here is the answer given to us. Only if we live according to your Word. And so that is it. We cannot be pure. We will not be pure until we completely surrender to the Word of God. Now, before we start thinking that we have arrived and we are perfect, as we go through the rest of this, we see that there's a lot of hard work involved here. There's a lot of difficulty that one has to go through. For example, look at verse 17. Do good to your servant, and I will live. You see, it's because the psalmist here knows and realizes that it is not anything of what the psalmist does. It is not even that the psalmist living according to the word of God that will find him good with God. It is do good to your servant. Lord, it is you who's got to do good. It is your grace. It is your mercy. Do good to your servant and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. You see, the psalmist doesn't just see this on his own. He doesn't get the right perspective on his own. It is God who opens the eyes of the blind. A wonderful picture of the Apostle Paul when those scales, things like sort of scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see again. What a wonderful illustration, a picture of we were once blind in our sin, in our unregenerate, in our perhaps pagan lifestyle. And now to be able to see, because it is God who has opened our eyes to see things, wonderful things in His law. You'll find these words, law, precepts, decrees, statutes, and so forth. These are words referring to God's commands, God's instructions, God's directions, and so forth. I'm a stranger on earth, verse 19. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your commands. Remove from me the scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. And so on. And so you see, friends, what the psalmist is telling us is that we can have no purity in life. We pursue it. We want to gain and grow in purity and in holiness, but we will never arrive to that point in this life until we surrender to the Word of God. Only will we be able to increase in that sort of purity. So the psalmist uses here for us an example of young men, because as you and I know, it is in the days of our youth that we make most of our critical decisions in life. Some of the most important decisions we make in life come in the time of our youth. Now, this is not just talking about a teenager or a younger person. This is talking about someone in the earlier days of their life. Perhaps it may be a career choice. It may be marriage. It may be many things. But we've got to make critical and important decisions in life, more especially in our youthful years. You know, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, the wise writer there says, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because you see, friends, it is in the days of youth that a person's strongest sinful passions are aroused. It's not that it doesn't happen in our older years, but it is in the days of our youth, when there seems to be more vigor about us, when there seems to be, you know, longer period of life that we may foresee ahead of us. Of course, we don't know how long we will live. But it is in the days of our youth that our passions, our sinful desires seem to be very strong. Now, I can't really speak for the older folk because I'm not there yet. If the Lord allows me, maybe another 20 or 30 years' time, I may give forth a different comment here. But it is really, most especially in the days of our youth, that our sinful passions are the strongest. So you see, friends, adults, older people are not excluded from this. They are included in it, because every human being, as you and I know, every human being at every point in his or her life has to make a choice of glory. Will I be glorifying myself or something else or someone else, or will I be glorifying God? We've all got a choice of glory to make. And so this is not just about a young man. This is about all people. And as I thought about this and I looked at it, it's sort of like the crossroads in the walk of life as we journey through life. I often find myself as I approach certain crossroads in life, questioning which way will I go. You know, sometimes I seem to be speeding along life so fast that I get to the crossroad and without thinking I'm taking a path in life. But sometimes I have to find myself, you know, slowing down and looking at things and asking which path will I follow, what factors. This is important. What factors will influence my decision as I go forward? Would it be what I'm going to gain from this decision? Would it be what I'm going to lose or sacrifice in this decision? Would it be how it's going to perhaps help or benefit someone else, or how it's going to help or benefit myself? Often I've got to ask myself this question, is this going to be glorifying to God? Friends, let me tell you, I don't get it right all the time. I don't get it right all the time. Often the crossroads of life might not show us the whole path ahead. We may come to this juncture and we've got to make a decision. We've got to choose which way will I go. It doesn't always show us the whole path. So let me put it to you and ask you, what would you do when you reach such a juncture? How will I choose what is right? You see, I put down for us in the handouts there in Proverbs 16, verse 25. We looked at this last week. Oh no, we didn't look at this, sorry. It says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. When we often at a crossroads in life, when we often got to make certain choices. Sometimes we feel and we think that we're making the right decisions. And so I've got to come back to ask this question, what factors influence our decision that makes it seem right for us? The psalmist says to us here in Psalm 119, as you go along in verse 104 and 105, it says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, you have made known to me the path of life. You see, friends, and perhaps you know this already, but let me just restate it for us. Perhaps for the benefit of those of us who haven't really realized this as yet. The Word of God is the clear lens through which we gain His correct perspective as we look at life. We may look at life and it may be dulled or blurred or obscured by many things. But it is the Word of God that for us becomes that clear lens through which we can look at life, through which we gain the correct perspective as we look at life. And it is the Word of God that is the compass, and it is the light that both directs and illumines the path that we follow. You know, we used to have load shedding not so long ago. And even in your home where you know, as things are laid out and you know where you should be stepping, even in your own home, you may find yourself stumbling over because it may be in complete darkness. There may be no light. But when even a single candle is lit, you are able to determine which way to go through in your own home. So just to use that illustration as we go through life where there is so much unknown, what's going to light up the path through life? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. I heard an interview on a Christian radio station last year. I enjoy listening to this program, and the person on the radio station was sharing their testimony and was just talking about what God has done in their life. And some of the words of this person stood out for me, and I sort of remember this from time to time. Because this person was perhaps, you know, in his description of his life, one of the most wretched persons that had lived the earth. That's how he painted his life before he became a Christian. But he says his life was radically transformed and changed by God. As God brought him to understand the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection. As God brought him to understand for the first time, not that he hasn't heard the gospel before, but to understand for the first time in his life that he was not right with God. He realized that he was a sinner, that all of these things he did in his life was an offense to God, and that he was on his way in this sinful life, destined for hell. And he says when God brought this understanding to him, it was like a light switched on in the darkness. God caused him to understand how wrong he was and that he needed forgiveness, or else he was going to end up facing the full weight of God's wrath. And he realized that he was forgiven before God because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so he trusted Jesus, he believed in Jesus, that Jesus died in his place for his sin, so that he can be forgiven before God and have this new life. He confessed his sin to God and he asked God to forgive him. And he said he started this life, it was like a breath of fresh air for him, and he began this journey as a Christian. But as he did this, he found that there was another problem. He found himself able to articulate the gospel and understand it, and he enjoyed listening to it being preached. But now here he was as a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ. He was attending church regularly. He repeatedly heard the gospel and how people can be saved. But he said that he still struggled with this one thing. As a new Christian, nobody explained to him or told him how he should now live his life. So he was talking about how he heard these great Christian truths and these great Christian doctrines, and all these verses were quoted for him. But he just didn't know how to take those words and apply it in his life, in his everyday situation. So he struggled. One of the things he struggled with, among many other things, and this used to be one of my very, very big difficulty as well. He struggled with his temper. I mean, someone could say something or look strangely at him, and he would just, you know, turn. So he struggled with his temper. He would easily get angry, and he would argue with people, and he would throw words out and become aggressive in his nature and so forth. Until he started spending time, he says, with God's Word. Opening up the Bible and reading through it. And he said, fortunately, as he did that, as he spent time reading the Bible, and as he spent time with other Christians, and as God had been teaching him through the fellowship of other Christians and observing other Christians, he said, as he read scriptures like Colossians chapter 3 and verse 7, which says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. And here is a list, and in this list was anger, rage. And he said, hold on, that's me. And if this is what the Word of God is saying, then I've got to remember this every time I find myself in a conflict situation or being stirred up to anger and all sorts of things. He said, I've got to remember the Word of God. And the scripture went on as he read through, and he went down to verse 12, and he was saying, clothe yourselves. So as he was meant to get rid of these things, scripture was saying to him, put on a new look. Clothe yourselves. And it listed things, and among them these words stood out, compassion. And he realized he was not compassionate. Gentleness, and he realized he was not gentle. And so he went on, and as he read scripture, he came across Galatians chapter 5, which spoke about him being freed in Christ. He was no longer bound. This anger and rage and frustration that ruled him didn't have any power over him, actually, because he was freed from all that in Jesus Christ. And he spoke to him about him being freed from sin and freed from guilt. And also, as he went down to verse 22, then he spoke to him about the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit that he saw there was self-control. And you know what he realized? He realized he did not have self-control. And so he, as he read through that, began to soak in and eat up the Word of God and store it up within him and start to make changes in his life. He spoke about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, which says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And he knew that while he understood the gospel, he heard the doctrines being preached, and he was hearing scripture, and while he gave his life to Christ, in the way his life looked before people and before himself, he was not a new creation in the way he lived his life. And this man determined, as he had given his life to Christ, to now live for Christ. Because the Word of God became so real to him. It spoke to him, and it instructed his life in such a good way. This man later on fell so in love with God and the Word of God that he went on to study the Bible formally. He went on to be qualified in theology, and he became a pastor. And he pastored a church. Friends, the Word of God stirs obedience to God. God does that by His Spirit. Now, over the years, you know, I've worked with young people continue to work with young people. And I've had a few young people ask this question of verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? But they haven't really asked it in those words. Some of them has expressed it in this way. You know, give me the biblical recipe for holiness and Christian purity. In other words, what they were saying is, what is the best and easiest way for me to obey God and not sin? That's what they're asking me. I'm sure we'd all like to know that. But here's the answer, isn't it? Live according to the Word of God. Live according to the Word of God. I listened to, one of the things I do as I prepare the sermons is listen to other preachers. And I listened to John Piper, and he said this that really grabbed me. Let me give it to you. Oh, I put it in your handouts as well. He said, if we learn how to live for the glory of God and enjoy God. Now notice, live for. This is what we got to live for. Live for the glory of God and enjoy God. Then we will know how not to sin. Conversely, if we learn how not to sin, we would know how to live for the glory of God and enjoy Him. You see, friends, it would depend on what I'm living for, isn't it? Am I living for the glory of God? Am I living to enjoy God? Do I see my life's purpose being ultimately so that it would be glorifying to God and so that I would enjoy Him? Verse 16, look at Psalm 119, verse 16. The psalmist says, I delight in your decrees. I delight in God. You know, I've used this illustration to a few people. Let me give it to you. When you look at a parent and the child and they're having fun and you hear, you know, parents giving good reports of how well the child is doing, developing perhaps at school or maybe starting a great career and so forth, or the successes that they may be doing. Perhaps a person may, speak so well about things that they enjoy doing. They have a certain delight there. And I say, well, you delight in all these things. How does that equate? How does that measure to your delight in God? Is it the same? What John Piper was expressing as well here is what the psalmist is saying in verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yes, we live according to the word of God. We store it up. There's that word hidden. It seems like, you know, you want to put it away and not reveal it or expose it or bring it out to anyone. No, but it actually means I've stored it. I've kept it. I've put it away so that I can bring it out and use it whenever it's required. But you see this verse 11, friends, and I just point that out to you. Verse 11 there that we see sums up for us the whole purpose of human existence. The glory of God that comes through a life of obedience to God. And how do we do that? By taking the Word of God right into our very beings, the depths of our beings, so that we would not sin against God. That was God's intention right at the beginning with Adam and Eve. So as you think of the purpose of life and how we live it this year, perhaps it's like a blank slate. Yes, there's nothing on it right now. And as we go through the year, we start to fill it in. Or perhaps like the illustration I've used earlier on, it's like a road ahead where the path is unknown. It is unclear. We know there is a path, but we just cannot see the details of it. It bends and there are hills. Perhaps there's some obstructions or roadblocks or obstacles. There may be some potholes. Perhaps there may be moments where it just goes through so quickly, some freeways along that path, or maybe it just seems like it's dragging along and it's heavy and it's so slow. Perhaps there may be some speed bumps along the way. As we look at this year and our life, whatever our ambitions may be, whatever the expectations, or perhaps there may be some fears or concerns, may I encourage us this morning as we look at this Word of God to take the first step into this year as we come to God and we say, like the psalmist has said, God, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a lamp that lights my path. I will journey with you as your word lights up my next step. As I stand here and the rest of life is unknown or it's troublesome or I don't have the answers and the solutions for it, as I stand here and as I may look at a problem or a prospect, as I look down at where I am, your word lights me. I trust in you. As I look ahead at the path before me, I take the step that you are lighting up for me, trusting you. I will follow you. I will live my life. I will be led by your word. As I look at life, may I see it as you do. I want to draw this to a close, but before I do, let me point out to us the 8 attitudes of the psalmist, 7 of them. It's there in your handouts. You'll see it there in verse 10. In verse 10, he says, I seek you. I seek you, Lord, with all my heart. Don't let me go astray from your commands. I'm looking for you. I'm seeking you, Lord. I want to follow in your path. Don't let me go astray. Let me keep on that path. Because I know I can wander away. I may start off well, but I could stray away. But keep me on the path of your commands. Verse 11 and 12, he says he has stored up, he has hidden. In other words, he treasures the word of God that it will teach him and so that he will not sin against God. You see in verse 12 that his life is full of praise for God's goodness, for God's mercy and for God's grace. In verse 13, you see that he speaks or he recounts the word of God from his lips. In verse 14, he finds pleasure. He rejoices in doing what the Lord requires, in following your statutes. I will do what you require, O God. I delight in that. In verse 15, he diligently gives attention to the word of God. He gives thought to the word of God. He considers the way of God. And in verse 16, you see great delight. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. What a wonderful attitude the psalmist presents to us. But you see, I look at that and I measure that to myself, and I realize that so many times I'm falling short. See, friends, we need to realize that we cannot do this on our own. It is God who's got to put His word in our hearts. It is only by the grace of God that we're saved. And it is Him who puts His word in our hearts. Because Jesus, the ultimate word of God, has come to this world. He became flesh, we are told in John chapter 1. And He lived, He died, He rose to life again. He ascended into heaven where He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's the one who's going to come back again. But until then, He changes people. He changes and He transforms people through the power of His Spirit as His word comes to them. And so as he speaks now about the written word of Scripture, the psalmist says, I have hidden the word, your word, in my heart, that I may not sin against you. I wonder if we have that passion, that desire, and that attitude. Lord, I do not want to sin against you. Friends, it is the key that unlocks the purpose and meaning of life, the Word of God. Surrender, submission, and obedience to God so that He would be glorified. Let me conclude just with a couple of words here. How can a young man or any person keep his way pure? It is simply this. Here's the answer, which we know is a really difficult thing for us to do. But it says, by living according to your word. You may be going along your day as you usually do, and you may come to this crossroad in life where there's some temptation that's luring you. Temptation to be dishonest. Temptation perhaps to steal. temptation, perhaps, of adultery, or pornography, perhaps, or lies. Temptation to sin against God. You may be at that crossroad. Then this temptation, this sinful desire within us may be luring us and showing us, no, this is the way you got to go. But here is the word of God that is lighting our path. Perhaps you come to a crossroads where there is a crisis. And you're not sure what to do. Which way would you go? What's going to inform your decision as you face this crisis? Perhaps you come to this crossroad and you find there is a mystery, there is something unknown. Perhaps you don't have the answers to certain things. Would you despair? Would you become anxious? Or would you come and put your trust in God? Which way would you go? Perhaps there's some circumstance that may overwhelm you. Perhaps there's an overwhelming emotion that you may find yourself in. It may be weighing so heavily on you that it depresses you, that it burdens you. Would you come to the cross of Jesus and follow Him? Perhaps you may come to a point in life where something excites you so much that you're so overwhelmed with joy or excitement that you fail to make a fair judgment and follow the path of sin instead. What is it that you're going to face this year? I don't know. But as we come to these crossroads, which path will we take? What is going to inform my next step? May it be God. May it be Him living in us, His Word that is stored up in us, that we will speak His Word from our lips when we are required to do that. Would we keep saying the words of God? Would we listen to the Word of God as He speaks to us in our minds and speaks to our conscience? And may His Word drive us, burn within us, and lead our entire being through life, that we will so delight in the truth of God, in His Word, and in His righteousness, and in His power, that we won't neglect it. Let us pray.